JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Now, I like this E-Road. Most people probably, correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, most people wouldn't know what E-Road is, would they?
No, I think that's probably a fair assessment. It's not often we see a government policy change actually overflow into the NZX. I mean, it does happen from time to time, but that is what has happened last week. And you're right, I don't think E-Road is going to be a household name. It is an NZX-listed company. I think it's dual-listed as well on the ASX. And it provides solutions for, amongst other people, logistics companies to manage their road user charges. And to cut to the chase, it's seen a very healthy move higher in its share price. So we've got the announcement that's been talked about an awful lot. The government's looking to transition the local light vehicle fleet to road user charges. In other words, your car, my car, or your neighbour's car, all the cars, not just trucks and diesels and hybrids that are on rucks at the moment. So E-Road has a digital sort of a virtual solution. So it's a GPS-based platform, and it's currently rolled out to or being used by people that use heavy vehicles, commercial fleets, so they can automatically pay for their road user charges. So it's calculated on the actual distance travelled because the clever little GPS monitors where your vehicle goes. So this is already happening. It's already collecting rucks. So you've got a system that's ready to go, and the government announcement effectively means there's a potential for a new 3.5 million vehicles that could use their system. Now, unsurprisingly, E-Road have issued a statement applauding the push for smarter, fairer rucks. Understandably, they are excited how well they're positioned to be part of a digital solution. Now, what's interesting here is the share price has sort of been bouncing along for quite some time between 80 cents and a dollar. It did take a bit of a leap at the end of May, which is sort of quite interesting when we look at that in retrospect, to $1.40. It's now over $2. Hey, look, the company has been through, some troubles. I mean, back in 2021, it was trading over $5. So it's still got a long way to go to recapture its past glory, but it's certainly been handed a what you would call a gilt-edged opportunity here, hasn't it?
Explain this to me. So there's RB surveys of expectations, I get it, and you go to people and you go, what do you reckon inflation is going to be in a couple of years? How the hell would anyone know? And then based on that, why would they take that so seriously?
Okay, so two things here. One is the survey of expectations isn't just sent out sort of to a whole lot of random people. It is actually sent out to an audience that hopefully will have some idea. So it's sent out to people in the industry that are, I suppose, professionals. So they're going to be, one would assume, slightly more informed than the general public. Now, so, but actually in this, what we saw yesterday, no news is actually good news. So let's just sort of back up a little bit. It's a quarterly survey of expectations, and included in that is a survey of where people think inflation is going to be. So it does seem pretty dry, doesn't it? But to answer your second question, it's a very important input into their thinking, because where people believe inflation is going has proven to be quite an important factor on where inflation actually goes. So in other words, if you think inflation is going to be higher, then there is a higher propensity for you to do either put your prices up or to go and ask for higher wages. Yeah. So it tends to drive where it's going to go. So we pay attention to indicators in various surveys about inflation expectations. So just looking at yesterday, the key takeaway here is that at least according to the survey, inflation expectations are well anchored. And Mike, that is exactly where you want them to be. So it presents no hurdle, I think, to a move lower in the OCR. So for the record, two-year inflation expectations came in at 2.28%, down marginally from 2.29%. They do keep a close eye on the two-year number. It seems to be the number that's most predictive in terms of, what's actually going to happen. 1 year ahead, though, people's expectations also fell from 2.41 to 2.37. Interestingly, I asked people where they thought the OCR would be. And if you look at this time next year, people think the OCR will be at 2.86%. So that's an average. Mm. So they still see downside there. But I think, Mike, just with the risk of further weakness in the labour market, the fact that your inflation expectations are well contained, the fact that growth is anemic, I think the RBNZ does need to move the OCR. And remember, there's also a lag in monetary policy moves. So you're not moving the OCR now to affect what's happening tomorrow. You're moving it to affect what's happening in a year's time. So they've got to get going. 2.5.
Yeah, I agree. Thank God somebody's come to the party on that. Well done. What are the numbers?
Yeah. So the US market's a little bit weaker. The Dow Jones is down 0.85%. That's 375 points, 43,818. The S&P 500 is down about 0.25%, 6,327. And the NASDAQ is down 0.37%, 21,092. Overnight, the FTSE 100 lost 0.69%, 64 basis point, 9,100. The Nikkei was up 0.65%, 41059. The Shanghai Composite up small, 6 points, 3693. The Australasian markets were quite quiet yesterday. The ASX 200 down 12 points, 8831. The NZX 50 up 7 points, 12887. Kiwi dollar a little bit stronger, 0.5947 against the US, 0.9145 Aussie, 0.5110 against the Euro, 0.4431 pounds, 87.66 Japanese yen. Gold has drifted up $3,392, and Brent crude, it's actually come down, Mike.
Good.
$66.53. There you go.
Good. You have a great weekend. See you next week. Andrew Kelleher, JMIWealth.co.nz.